This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim, and we'll start in the beginning of the Parsha, chapter 21, verse number 1. The Pasuk starts, Ve'ele ha-Mishpatim, and these are ordinances, asher tosim v'fneihem, they should place before them. There's an interesting Medrash Rabbe in Parsha Lamed, Simen Tes, where the Medrash Rabbe says, Adau d'chsif, that this is the meaning of the Pasuk, and he brings the Pasuk Tehillim 147, verse 19, Magid Dvorov LeYaakov, that Hashem tells His words to Jacob, meaning to the Jewish people. Chukov Umishpotov LeYisrael, His decrees and ordinances to Israel, to the Jewish people. LeYoso Chein LeCholgoy, Hashem didn't do the same to any other nations. Umishpotim Bal Yedom, and judgments they do not know. Halleluka, give praise to Hashem. And the Medrash goes on to explain the connection to this Parsha, and it says that when the Pasuk says, Magid Dvorov LeYaakov, Hashem who tells His words to Jacob, Elu HaDibros, this is the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros that Hashem gave previously, Chukov Umishpotov LeYisrael, that Hashem gives His decrees and His ordinances to the Jewish people, Elu HaMishpotim, these are the Mishpotim, these are the ordinances that's listed in this week's Parsha of Mishpatim. And the Medrash continues and explains that the idea of Magid Dvorov LeYaakov, that Hashem says His words to Jacob and His ordinances to the Jewish people, is to tell us that the way Hashem acts, that is not the way that a human being acts. Meaning that a human being, let's say for example a king, would tell you to do something, would give you an ordinance to his subjects to do something, but he himself is not bound by this ordinance, and he himself will not do the same thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the same way. When he gives the ordinance, he himself performs the ordinance. When he makes a decree, he himself fulfills the decree. Therefore, it's written, Magid Dvorov LeYaakov, Hashem who tells His words only to Jacob. Chukov Umishpotov, His decrees and His judgments are only to Israel, only to the Jewish people. Only regarding the Jewish people, Hashem performs His ordinances and His decrees. But regarding the other nations of the world, Hashem does not perform His ordinances and His decrees. And the question that we are going to ask is, why is the Medrash saying this specifically here? I understand that the Medrash saw the words Mishpatim, and therefore the Medrash is trying to connect to the other words that's written, Chukov Umishpotov LeYisrael, that Hashem gives His decrees and His ordinances to the Jewish people. But if that is true, there is a previous place that's written the word Choik Umishpot, which is written the word decree and ordinances, and there the Medrash doesn't comment anything. Because in Beshalach chapter 15, verse number 25, there it says, Shom Som Loi Choik Umishpot. There, in Mara, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Choik a decree Umishpot in an ordinance. The Shom Nisol, and there they were tested. And there the Medrash doesn't put the association Magid Dvorov LeYaakov Chukov Umishpotov LeYisrael. Would have been a better place to put, because there it's written the word Chukov also. Then we have to understand what is the message that the Medrash is trying to give us by putting this association only here. If the association would have been just because it's written the word Mishpat, then there would have been a better association in the other Pasuk, because in there it's written both words, Chuk Umishpat. Then we could say, Magid Dvorov LeYaakov, Chukov Umishpotov LeYisrael. And yet the Medrash decides to make this association only here in Parshas Mishpatim. There must be something special regarding Parshas Mishpatim that the Medrash is trying to give us or trying to tell us. True that the Pasuk in Beshalach says, Shom Som Loi Choyku Mishpat, there He gave us a decree and an ordinance, and that could be referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu told us certain laws in Mara, and here it's written, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem, and these are the ordinances that you should put for them. This is Hashem talking. Therefore, the Medrash wants to put the Pasuk associated, that Hashem keeps the ordinances with the pasuk when Hashem is giving us the Mishpatim, but we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't speak anything by himself, that Shechina medaberes mitach groino shel Moshe, that Hashem speaks through Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu giving us the Choyku Mishpat, the decree and the ordinance, is tantamount of Hashem himself giving us the decree and ordinance. Then we have to understand what is the message that the Medrash is trying to give us. And then the Pasuk continues to relate in Pasuk number 2, the laws of a Eved Ivri, of a Jewish slave. Right here, the law is referring to a person who stole and he doesn't have money to pay, then the Bezdin, the court, sells him for servitude and he's supposed to work for 6 years. In the 7th year, he goes free. But this law also applies for somebody who is in debt and he needs to pay his bills, then he could sell himself as a Jewish slave. But a Jewish slave is not like any other slave. A Jewish slave has certain benefits, and one of these benefits is derived from a pasuk in Devarim, chapter 15, verse number 16, where there the pasuk says, "Vayuk yomer elecha," it will be when the slave will tell you, "Loy etze mi'imach," I don't want to go away from you, meaning I want to stay longer than the 6 years, "ki ahevcho," because he loves you, "ves beisecho," and your household, "ki toiv loy imach," because it's good for him with you. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Beis Amed Alef, wants to explain what is the meaning of the words "ki toiv loy imach," that it's good for him with you. What goodness are we talking about? The Gemara there says, "Imach b'machol," that he is with you in the food, "Imach b'mishter," he is with you in what you drink, "Sheloy tei at oichel pas nakiya," that you shouldn't eat fine bread, "Behu pas kiber," and he should eat coarse bread, "Ato shoyse yain yoshon," you drink good old wine, "Vu yain chadosh," and he should drink new wine, "Ato yoshna gabe muchen," that you lay down on a pillow, "Vuhu agabe teven," and he lays down on straw. Mikan hamru, from where the rabbi said, "Kol hakoine eved ivri," anybody who buys for himself a Jewish slave, "kekoine odin laatzmoy," is tantamount as he bought himself a master. Meaning that if you have one steak, you are required to give it to the slave. If you have one pillow, you are required to give it to the slave. Then adds up being that the slave has more benefits than you. Therefore it says, "Ki toiv lo imach," because it's good for him with you, because he is having a good time, because he is working for you, and he is entitled to the special things that you enjoy. This is part of the laws of a Jewish slave. The question that we are going to ask is, why did the Torah specifically choose the laws of a Jewish slave to start Parshas Mishpatim? If I hold like the Rambam that Parshas Mishpatim was actually given at Mamad Har Sinai in the middle of the revelation in Sinai, and we receive this as a sample of the laws in order for us to know what we are getting into before we accept the rest of the Torah, then we have to understand what is the message that Hashem wants to give us by giving us the law of a Jewish slave. And even if I hold like Rashi that Parshas Mishpatim was given after the Jewish people received the second tablets on Yom Kippur, then we also have to understand what is the message again that Hashem is giving us by putting as the first law the law of a Jewish slave. To answer these questions, we are going to change a little bit the subject, and we are going to go to the laws of Rosh Hashanah, to the order of prayers that we do in Rosh Hashanah. We know that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, the day where every being goes in front of Hashem for judgment, and the rabbis, to remind us of this judgment, the rabbis instituted that we should change the language of our prayers, of our Shemoneh Esrei, and we should stress in our prayers that Hashem is the King. For example, in the third bracha, we say normally Hakel HaKadosh, the Holy God, and during Rosh Hashanah, up to Yom Kippur, we change that to HaMelech HaKadosh, the Holy King. we change our normal way from Hokel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. And the same thing, normally, during the Brach of Judgment, we normally would say, Melech Oyev Tzedakah Mishpat, a king who loves righteousness and judgment. And we change now to HaMelech HaMishpat, the king that's the judge, to stress again that Hashem is the king. So too, on Friday night, after the Shemon Esrei, we say the Magen Avot. There we say, Hakel HaKadosh She'en Kamo, the holy God that's unequaled. And during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we say, HaMelech HaKadosh She'en Kamo, the holy king that's unequaled. We change from Hakel to HaMelech again to stress the point that Hashem is our king. And the question that Mefarshim ask is, since we are in the period of Rosh Hashanah, which is a period of judgment, wouldn't it be better for us to invoke Avinu, our father, to show the relationship from us to Hashem is like a father to a son, in order for us to get more mercy? Why are we invoking HaMelech, that Hashem is the king, where that seems to be a lower level of mercy? Why not invoke the fact that Hashem is our father? Sefer Eruga Saboisam asks this question, but before he answers this question, he brings the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Vav, Omed Alef 36a, where there the Gemara is discussing the Pasuk in the Devarim, chapter 14, verse number 1, where the Pasuk says, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem, you are sons of Hashem your God, Loitis Goydedu, you should not gash yourself, Loitosim Ikarcho Bein Einechem, and not make a bald spot between your eyes. There the Gemara brings two opinions of what does it mean, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem. What does it mean that we are children of Hashem? The first opinion is the opinion of Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda says, Bizman she'atem nehagim minak banim, atem kruim banim. If we behave like children, like sons to Hashem, meaning that we do Hashem's will, we have the proper respects towards Hashem, then we are considered children to Hashem. But ein atem nohagim minak banim, but when we misbehave towards Hashem, we don't hold Hashem to be our father, then ein atem kruyim banim, we are not called children of Hashem, we are called slaves of Hashem, meaning that we don't deserve to be called children only when we behave properly. Rab Meir says, it's not true. Bein kach uvein kach atem kruyem banim. No matter what, even if we behave or we misbehave, we are still considered to be children to Hashem. He brings a few psukim, shenemar, because it's written in Yirmiyahu chapter 4, verse number 22. There it says, banim secholim hema, that we are foolish children. The Gemara continues and brings another pasuk in Devarim chapter 32, verse number 20, that the pasuk says, banim loy uman bam, these are children that there is no loyalty, that we are not loyal children. And the Gemara brings yet another pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 1, verse number 4, that says, zera mereim banim mashchisim, that we are called seed of evildoers, children that act corruptly. And then the Gemara brings a final pasuk from Hosea, chapter 2, verse number 1, that brings down, V'hoyo b'mokem asheyoma lohem loy ami atem, it will be instead of that which we say to them, you are not my people, ye'om lohem bnei kelchoy, Hashem will say that we are the son of the living God, meaning that Meir brings four psukim to tell that we are still considered children of Hashem. The Gemara asks a question, why is it necessary to have all the four psukim to tell that we are still the children of Hashem? The Gemara says that if it would be from the first pasuk where it calls us foolish children, we would have thought that yes, when we act foolish, then we are still considered children of Hashem. But when we act without loyalty to Hashem, then we are not considered children to Hashem. Therefore, Rav Meir brings the second pasuk, which calls banim loy uman bam, that we are children without loyalty, meaning that even though we are not acting with foolishness, we are not loyal to Hashem, we are still considered His children. Then the Gemara continues and says that Rav Meir is wondering, maybe only when we don't have loyalty to Hashem, then we are still considered the children of Hashem. But when we are clearly corrupted to Hashem, when we act brazenly against Hashem, when we clearly do idolatry, maybe then we are not considered children of Hashem anymore. Then he brings the other pasuk that says that even Zera Mereim Bani Mashchisim, even when we act corruptly, we act against Hashem, then we are still considered children of Hashem. Because Hashem calls us corrupted children. Even when we corrupted, we are still His children. But then you may think that once we are called corrupted children, we'll never lose the title of being corrupt again. Even when we repent, we are still not going to be able to lose the title of corrupted children. Therefore, Rav Meir brings the last pasuk, which says, it will be instead of that which is said, that you are not my people, meaning that we are not the people of Hashem, Hashem will say to them that we are the sons of the living God, we are the sons of Hashem, meaning that Hashem will still accept us back as regular children and will lose the title of corrupted children. Nonetheless, we see from this Gemara that there is a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir if, when we don't act properly, if we are considered children of Hashem or we are not considered children of Hashem anymore because of our misbehaving, and now we are called servants of Hashem, avodim to Hashem, and not in the category of children anymore. Normally, when there's a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, the halacha always follows Rav Yehuda, because the Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Memvav Amud Beis 46b says, Om Rabbi Yochanan says, Rav Meir ve Rav Yehuda, whenever we find a dispute between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, halacha ke Rav Yehuda, halacha is like Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara continues, just a side note, that Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi, whenever we find Rav Yehuda having argument with Rav Yosi, then halacha ke Rav Yosi, the halacha follows Rav Yosi. Then following the normal rules of halacha, it would be that in this case, we are not considered children of Hashem anymore. We are considered slaves of Hashem or servants of Hashem, because this is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda here is arguing with Rav Meir. And we know whenever Rav Yehuda argues with Rav Meir, the halacha should follow Rav Yehuda. But the Rashba says that we have to take the words of Rav Meir in consideration, since Rav Meir brings so many psukim to prove his point. Rav Meir brings 4 psukim to prove the point that even when we are corrupted, even when we are foolish, even when we are disloyal, we are still considered children of Hashem. Therefore, the Rashba in Shas Tshuvas 94 and 242 says that we have to take the comments of Rav Meir in consideration in our case, even though that is not the normal halach. But we have to understand the opinion of Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda also knows about this psukim. Rav Yehuda sees this psukim all over, and this psukim calls us corrupt children, foolish children. Then Rav Yehuda clearly sees that we are called children, even though we are corrupt. Then why does Rav Yehuda insist on telling, when we misbehave, that we are not children of Hashem? The Aruga Saboisam explains that it must be that Rav Yehuda held that there must be an advantage for us to be called slaves of Hashem, Avdei Hashem, and not children of Hashem when we misbehave. And we have to understand what is this advantage. The Aruga Saboisam explains based on the Rashi in this week's Parsha. Rashi in this week's Parsha, where it says that after the slave wants to stay there past the 6 years, he says, I love my master, I don't want to go free. Then Pasuk number 6 says, Vegishoy Adoinov Elu Elohim, that the master should bring him near to the judges. Vegishoy Eladeles Oyela Mezuzah, he should bring him near to the door or the doorposts. Verotza Adoinov as Oznoy Bemarceya, and the owner should bore through his heir with all. Vavodoy Leolam, and he should serve him forever. Meaning that if the slave wants to be there longer than the 6 years, we take him to the judges, to the bezin, and we take him next to the doorpost or the doorway, and we make a hole in his hair to signify that he doesn't want to go free after the 6 years. He wants to continue being a slave. So Rashi first explains why specifically the heir, and then Rashi goes and tries to explain why specifically the door and the doorposts. Why not just make a hole in his heir and that's it? So Rashi brings Rab Shimon, HaDoresh Mikrozeh Kamin Choymer, that the Tanner Rab Shimon used to expound his verse as pearls or as spices. Why is the door and the doorpost different from any other vessels of the house? Why specifically does the person who wants to stay there longer have to go to the doorpost and the doorway? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Delis Mezuzah, the door and the doorpost, Shayu Eden BeMitzrayim, that they were witnesses in Egypt, Keshepasachti Al HaMashkel V'Shtei HaMezuzos, when I jumped over the lintel and the doorpost, meaning that when I killed the firstborn of the Egyptians and I jumped over your door and your doorpost, and I said, Kili Yivnei Yisrael Avadim, that to me the Jewish people are slaves, even though that is said in Vayikra chapter 25, verse 55. Nonetheless, Hashem said that there too. Avodaihem, they are considered my slaves, veloy avodim lavodim, and not slaves to slaves. Meaning, we are slaves to Hashem, and we should not be slaves to the slaves of Hashem. V'holach zeh, and this person, meaning this Jewish slave, after his debt is paid up, he wants to continue being a slave. Yeratza bifneihem, let the hole be made in front of them, meaning in front of the doorpost and the door. The Ruga Saboisim says that according to this Rashi, we see clearly that we are considered slaves to Hashem. And Hashem wants exclusivity on us being only slaves to Hashem and not slaves to other people. And since we are Ivri, that means that we have the law of Eved Ivri, that we have the law of a Jewish slave. And since, as the Medrash writes down in the beginning of our parsha, Hashem also keeps his ordinances, that means that Hashem has to act towards us in the same way that a master has to act towards a Eved Ivri, towards a Jewish slave. And as we mentioned, regarding the law of a Jewish slave, the Gemara in Kedushin brings down from the pasuk that says, "Ki toiv loy imach," that it was good for the slave with you. And the Gemara says that means that if you're eating good bread, then you're not allowed to give him bad bread. And if you're drinking good wine, you can't give him bad wine. And if you're laying on cushions, then you're not allowed to make him lay on straw. And furthermore, Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Chof Amed Aleph Divrei Maschil Kol brings down that a lot of times the master only has one pillow and the master is now faced with a dilemma. Because if the master decides to sleep on that pillow and not give to the slave a pillow to sleep on, then the master would be transgressing Ki Toiv Loy Imach, that the slave has to be in the same level as the master. Then the master may decide that he will not give to the slave and he won't sleep on the pillow also, meaning that he will keep the pillow hidden. Like that, you won't have to give to the slave the pillow because he is not sleeping in the pillow. But Tosfos says that the master can't do that either, because since we have a rule that koifin al midas zdoim, that we force somebody not to act like a sodomite, and one of the midas doim, one way that zdom was very popular, was zenena vezeloi chaser, when somebody could benefit and the other one would not miss anything, would not lose anything. In zdom, they would not allow somebody to have a pleasure, meaning that if you cannot get the pleasure yourself, you'd make sure that nobody gets the pleasure. That was the midah of zdom. But we are required to make sure that if you can't get the pleasure, at least your fellow will be able to get that pleasure. Then this master is required to give the pillow to the slave. He cannot hide this pillow because we force him to give the pillow to the slave, because he himself can't have it, because he transgresses kitoy v'loimach, since the slave will not have it. Therefore, he has no choice, this master will have to give this pillow to the slave. And since now we are saying that we are Eved Ivris to Hashem, and we are also saying that Hashem follows the law, because the Medrash brings down Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, Chukav Mishpatav LeYisrael, that Hashem also follows His ordinances, that means that Hashem is required now to follow His ordinances and bestow us everything good. That means that even when we're in the level of slaves, Hashem, because He follows the Torah, is required to bestow us all the good that He has. Because Hashem has plenty good, and therefore Hashem cannot keep that good hidden, because we follow the ordinances and we force somebody not to be acting like a sodomite. Therefore Hashem will have no choice, kaviyachol, and Hashem will have to bestow us that goodness. According to this idea, we could now understand Rav Yehuda's statement, that Rav Yehuda was so insistent that when we misbehave, we are called slaves to Hashem and not children to Hashem. Why? Because when a child misbehaves, then it's incumbent to the father to make sure that he chastises him, that he punishes him, in order for him to go back to his right behavior. But once we are slaves to Hashem, then Hashem has no choice, because Hashem follows the law, and Hashem has to bestow us goodness. True that we are now far from Hashem, we are all considered slaves to Hashem and not children to Hashem, and our relationship is not as close anymore. But in the other hand, the fact that we are servants to Hashem, that will save us punishment. Because since it says, Ki toiv lo imach, that Hashem has to make sure that it is good for us when we are under servitude of Hashem, then Hashem cannot punish us. And quite opposite, Hashem is required by Jewish law to bestow us only good. Therefore, Rav Yehuda was insistent that when we misbehave, we are not considered children of Hashem anymore, because Rav Yehuda didn't want that the Jewish people be punished or chastised, and now we are considered only servants to Hashem, where we continue getting all the goodness from Hashem. And according to this Aruga Saboisem, Sefer Shemen Roish says that now we could understand what? That the rabbis instituted for us to say after we blow the shofar during the Amidah, during the Shemoneh Esrei. There we say, Hayom Haras Olam, today is the birthday of the world. Hayom Yamid Bamishpat Kol Yetzir Olamim, today Hashem will put all the creatures of the world in judgment. Im Kevanim, Im Kavarim, either as children or servants. Im Kevanim, if we are a children, Rachmeinu Kerachem of Albanim, have mercy on us like a father has mercy on his children. The Im Kavadim, but if we are considered as slaves, then Einenu Lecha Tluyos, our eyes look towards and depend upon you, Ach Techoneinu, until you are gracious to us, Vesoitzi Cho Oir Mishpoteinu, and you bring out as light our judgment, Oyem Kadosh, O Awesome and Holy One. And Sefer Shemen Roish says that he never understood the statement, Vesoitzi Cho Oir Mishpoteinu, should bring out as light our judgment. Normally you would probably understand it as you should make our judgment clear. But we are asking for mercy from Hashem. So what are we saying that Hashem should bring out as light our judgment? Sefer Shemen Roish says that according to this Aruga Saboisem, we could understand it very nicely. Because it's written in the Pasuk in Mishle, chapter 6, verse 23, Ki neir mitzvah v'toyre or, that a candle is a mitzvah and Torah is light. And according to this, he says that this is exactly what we are asking. We are asking Hashem exactly as Rav Yehuda says, meaning that im kevanim, im kavadim, that sometimes we could be judged as children or we could be judged as slaves, meaning that im kevanim, if we are meritorious, if we are in a high level, that we are considered children to Hashem, then Rachameinu, you should have mercy on us, Kerachim Avalbonim, like a father has mercy on a child. But Chas V'Sholem, if we misbehave, and we are not considered children of Hashem, and we are considered Kavodim, we are considered as slaves of Hashem, then Einenu Lechot Luyos, we are looking towards you, Achetechoneinu, until you are gracious to us, V'Soitzi, and you bring out Cheol, like the Torah, because Torah is considered light, Mishpoteinu, our judgment. We expect you, Hashem, that if we are considered as slaves towards you, you should bring out our judgment as the Torah prescribes. And as we mentioned, the Torah prescribes that when you have Eved Ivri, you are required to bestow that Eved Ivri all the goodness that you have. Then therefore, we are looking towards you, that you should be gracious to us and make our judgment like the judgment that the Torah prescribes, and we'll have everything good. And he continues and says that this is the reason why the rabbi specifically instituted that during Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we should always make sure to say HaMelech HaKadosh, the Holy King. We have to make sure that we put ourselves in the category of Hashem being our King, because then we are considered servants, we are considered Eved Ivri. And if you are considered Eved Ivri, then Hashem has no choice. Hashem will have to bestow us all the goodness that He has, because Hashem has plenty goodness to bestow, and He is required to do it, because otherwise He transgresses either Ki Tov Lo Imach, or He transgresses the rule of Koifin Amidas Dom, that we force somebody not to act like Zdom. And Sefer Shemeroish continues and says that this is the explanation of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dav Gimel Amud Beis 3b, where the Gemara there says, Omale Ravacha le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, that Ravacha said to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Miyom Shecharav Beis Hamikdash, from the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Ein Schoik La Kodesh Baruch Hu, there is no laughter for Hashem, meaning that Hashem Kaviyachol is also saddened by the destruction of the temple, because if it would be true that Hashem is able to have schok, have laughter, then Hashem would have to give us laughter too, because we are Eved Ivris, and if the master is having certain pleasures, he is required to make sure that the servant shares in those pleasures. Then from the fact that we don't have those pleasures, that proves that Hashem is also saddened by the destruction of the temple, and He also does not have laughter. And that is also the idea that Hashem always says, Imoy Anoichi Betzara, that whenever the Jewish people are in trouble, then Hashem shares in that trouble, because if He wouldn't share in that trouble, then Hashem would require to relieve us of that trouble, because we are considered Eved Ivri, we are considered Jewish slaves, and this is the law for a Jewish slave. According to this idea, Sefer Shemeroish says, we could answer why did the Medrash decide to put specifically this learning that Chukav Umishpotav LeYisrael, that Hashem gives His decrees and His ordinances to the Jewish people, that Hashem actually keeps the laws that He gives to the Jewish people specifically on Parshas Mishpatim and not previously in Parshas Beshalach, where it's written Choyku Mishpat, that Hashem gave decree and ordinances to the Jewish people. And also we could understand why specifically the Torah decides to start the list of Parshas Mishpatim with the law of Eved Ivri, of a Jewish slave, meaning that the Medrash is trying to explain to us why Hashem decided to start Parshas Mishpatim with the laws of Eved Ivri, and the answer is because Hashem also keeps these ordinances. Meaning, according to Rashi, that Rashi believes that Parshas Mishpatim is out of order, that the place for Parshas Mishpatim is after the Jewish people did the sin of the golden calf, and after Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second tablets, the day after Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Parshas Mishpatim, the ordinances. That means that we received Parshas Mishpatim after we did a huge sin, the sin of the golden calf. And Hashem Yisborach is trying to tell us that you should not lose hope and despair when you sin, that don't think that when you sin, you'll be completely obliterated. Therefore, because Hashem wants to show us His mercy and His love for us, Hashem decided to put as the first law of the ordinances the law of a Jewish slave. And by the law of Jewish slave, we know that the master is required to behave in a nice way to the slave. As we mentioned from the Gemara in Kedushin and the Tosfos there, that says that not only does the slave get as much as the master, the slave gets actually more than the master. And since Hashem also keeps the Torah, that means that if we misbehave, Hashem nonetheless is going to have to be good to us, because when we misbehave, we lose the right to be called children of Hashem, and we are then called slaves of Hashem. And also, from the laws of a Jewish slave, we see that if he desires to stay longer than his prescribed time of 6 years, then Hashem makes him go in front of the door and in front of the doorpost and make a hole in his ear. And we explained from Rashi that the reason is that Hashem proclaimed that we, the Jewish people, are slaves of Hashem, and this person is going to get a master for himself. Then we see clearly that Hashem wants exclusivity on us being servants of Hashem or slaves of Hashem. Then clearly Hashem wants us to be His Eved Ivri, His Jewish slaves. He is our exclusive master. And since He's our exclusive master, then He's required to behave towards us as the laws of Eved Ivri. Therefore, by giving us the law of Eved Ivri as the first law, Hashem is reassuring us that even if you misbehave and you are considered as slave to me, nonetheless, I will still be good to you, because that is the law. And that is why the Medrash specifically says here that Hashem also keeps the Torah. And if I hold like the Ramban, that the Ramban believes that Parshas Mishpatim is in its proper place, meaning that during Mamad Har Sinai, we received Parshas Mishpatim as a sample of the laws that Hashem is going to give us. And only after we got this sample of laws, we said what is written on chapter 24, verse number 7, the famous words, Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do and we will hear. And according to this, then we had not yet sinned by the sin of the golden calf, because that happened 40 days after we received the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibrois. That idea that Hashem gave us as the first law, the law of Eved Ivri, and also that the Medrash says specifically that Hashem also keeps the laws of the Torah, that the message is that we should know that even though we suffered in Egypt, Hashem was also suffering with us in Egypt. And that is the same idea as Hashem appearing to Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush, in the Sneh, to show to Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem was also suffering when the Jewish people were in Egypt. And that idea is the same idea as we mentioned before, that Imoy Anoichi Betzara, that Hashem is together with us in our troubles, because if Hashem wouldn't be together with us in our troubles, then Hashem would require to make us not have any troubles. Because since we are Eved Ivris of Hashem, then Hashem is required to act with us as a master. And if the master is having pleasure, it's not proper for the slave to be in sorrow. Therefore, we have to say, according to the Ramban, that Hashem showed us the message of Eved Ivri for us to know that Hashem was also with us in Mitzrayim, in slavery, and Hashem will be with us everywhere we go, even in our troubles. And that message convinced the Jewish people to say Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do and we will hear. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should all be meritorious and be considered as children to Hashem, and then Hashem will have mercy on us, like a father has mercy on his child. And if, Chas v'Shalom, we are not meritorious, that we should still be considered servants of Hashem, Avdei Hashem, and we should be like Eved Ivris, as we mentioned. And even though now we don't have Schok Pinu, we don't have full smile on our face, because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, but we should wish that Hashem should again regain his laughter, that he should have Schok, and if he has Schok, laughter, then we will merit to have Schok, laughter, and that will be when we merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehero b'yomeinu, Amen.